Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, March the 19th. It's about 10.05 a.m. and you're on Money 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host of the show for the next hour and my name's Andrew Rogerson. This show is for business owners or for those thinking of becoming a business owner. Or what I like to say, where Wall Street meets Main Street. We talk about selling a business, buying a business or a franchise, and all the issues that go with owning and operating a business. For example, marketing, lending and finance, and other management issues. Again, my name's Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified with the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm also certified with the International Business Brokers Association. I'm an author. I've written four books: Successfully Sell Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Start Your Business, and Successfully Buy Your Franchise. And I have a great accent. It's from Australia. If you want to know a bit more about me, you're welcome to visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. I've got about 220 blogs up there on different issues around business ownership. There's a free monthly newsletter, so if you'd like to sign up each month, beginning of the month, I send out a newsletter on five different topics, just of issues revolving owning and operating and selling a business. There's also some free documents, so if you want to get access to those free documents, you might be in the process of buying or selling a business, you're welcome to use those free documents. You may find they come in handy. If you can't find me with the website, just simply Google my name, Andrew Rogerson Sacramento, and I should pop up there at the top of your search. This morning I've got a guest, and an interesting gentleman. His name is Jason Lucas. I got to get that right, Jason Lucas, and he's with a company in Southern California called Arig Audio, and I'd like to introduce Jason. Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jason, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Just give us a very brief overview. Tell us a little bit about Jason Lucas. You caught my eye because one of the things you successfully did was you won Entrepreneur of the Year through Entrepreneur Magazine, and that was a pretty incredible achievement. So tell us a little bit about Jason and what you're about.
So my name is Jason Lucas. Originally from Danville, California. Went to school up in your neck of the woods, UC Davis. And we're down in Orange County, California, and I'm the owner of Arig Audio. And what we are is we're a portable audio company, so headphones, speakers, but they're not all normal speakers. They're all a little different. And I think our company culture and our business reflects that we like to be different.
Yep. And one of the things that caught my eye also with Jason was he's from Northern California, so we need to support our entrepreneurs in Northern California. He also went to UC Davis, which is my oldest daughter was a graduate from UC Davis, so I thought I should look after Jason as well. He's a graduate from UC Davis, great college, great university out there in Davis, and they do an awesome job. What got you going with entrepreneurship, Jason? That's one thing that, you know, it's an interesting world. Not many young people want to tackle entrepreneurship right now. What got you started?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I had a candy stand. I would, buy candy from like Safeway and sell it on the street corner, mark it up, and make a profit off my friends. And in college, I had like a bartending and a party serving company. So this is like my first real business. After college, I went and moved to San Francisco and worked for JanSport, which is the world's biggest backpack company, running their marketing. And I worked in a corporate job for about 4 years. And, I always had the idea to always want to work for myself. My grandpa was like a diehard entrepreneur, and he always pushed me and told me, you should work for yourself. You should work for yourself. And, lo and behold, after 4 years of working corporate, I just decided to go out on a whim and start this company. And luckily, we've been very successful.
You've been incredibly successful, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit moment. So the encouragement to become an entrepreneur, it came from your grandparent? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, from my grandfather. He had his own printing and publishing company, and he from early on, he's like, you got to work for yourself. There's nothing better than being your own boss. And I guess he drove home the fact and kind of like sat in the back of my mind always. And, there's no better time than to start a company being young. You don't have mortgages, you don't have large families, you don't have a lot of overhead. So you know, a lot of younger people, and I encourage younger people to start a business because you have very little risk, but there could be a high reward at the end of the tunnel.
Yep, that's intriguing. The gene to be an entrepreneur, I've watched that. I've been a small business owner for about 30 years, and my grandfather in Australia funded my uncles to start the Kenworth truck franchise. And in Australia, if you want to move goods around Australia, you need a truck to do that. And so my uncles were smart enough to say to my grandfather, can you lend us some money? We need to buy a Kenworth truck. And eventually they started the Kenworth franchise in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And then eventually Kenworth said, hey, you guys are doing too well. We need to buy it back from you. So that's what happened. But it's interesting. In my family, I've got two older brothers and a younger sister, and none of them have any interest in being an entrepreneur. So either you have that gene, I think, or you don't. And if you've got it, it tends to take over your life. And if you let it evolve and take shape, it has its own path. And that's one of the things I caught up with what you've done, Jason. I'm impressed. I'm not sure you want to share how old you are, but roughly how old are you?
I'm 29.
Yep. So that's an incredibly young age to have the itch to become an entrepreneur, because you would have started out when you were 24, 25?
Correct. Yeah, I was 25.
Yep. Great. So what made you famous? I've got some more background on you than what I've shared with the listeners so far, but what made you famous?
Oh, obviously my good looks. So no, I'm kidding. Well, luckily it's radio, so you can't see what I look like. But
that's true.
No, I'm kidding. I think, you know, we just worked hard, and so we launched the company in August 2009. Our Origadio's first products were folding speakers made out of recycled material, so hence the name Origadio. We used to be known as the Origami of Audio, but now we're just Origadio. So we launched these eco-friendly folding speakers in the summer of 2009, and you know, started spreading the word via, you know, press and just organic and grassroots marketing. Still to this day, we've actually never spent any money ever on advertising or marketing. And, you know, my business partner, we were working at JanSport, and we didn't want to leave our full-time jobs because we didn't know how the company was going to do. But lo and behold, 3 months after we launched the company, our first product was named Time Magazine's 50 Best Inventions of the Year, and it kind of caused business instantly to blow up in our face. We both put it in our 2 weeks at JanSport. And we made the jump to be full-time entrepreneurs and run this thing ever since then. But we had some good press right off the bat that kind of helped propel us. Also, we were on the show Shark Tank on ABC, which a lot of people in the business community know. So that kind of helped us as well. And then this past year, Entrepreneur Magazine's Entrepreneur of the Year. That's like, I don't know, that's like winning the Best Actor Award at the Academy Awards. For me, that's the icing on the cake. It doesn't get any better than that.
So we're going to talk about each of those things in a little bit more detail, but you've really had the trifecta: Time Magazine's 50 Best Inventions of 2009. I'm intrigued. Obviously, your skill set, the strength you bring to the business is your marketing skills. So,
correct.
How did you sit down and say to yourself, "Oh, let me contact Time Magazine and see if I can be part of their 50 Best Inventions of 2009"? What was the thought there?
Yeah, it's kind of funny actually. So when we first launched our folding speakers, you know, they retail for $19.99, and we contacted some small mom-and-pop stores. Right when we built the product, we didn't want to go approach like a Best Buy or a Target because we knew that they wouldn't have any interest in us because we simply had one product. So we kind of took an outside-the-box approach to retail, and one of the first stores we placed our product in was Airport Wireless. They're in most major airports across the country, and actually one of the senior editors from Time Magazine saw the product in Airport Wireless, and when he got back from vacation, he actually had a press release sitting in his inbox for me also. So kind of drove home the fact, and, you know, he piqued his interest a little bit. We sent him out some samples, and, you know, three months later, 50 Best Inventions of the Year. And it wasn't just 50 Best Technology Inventions. On our year, the number one invention of the year was a NASA Ares rocket. Also was on there was the AIDS vaccine. So just great innovations for the year, but it's still, I can't believe that we were named that list. It's weird to think about, but it's cool, you know. It proved what we invented and what we came up with was different and unique and caught the eyes of the biggest magazine in the world's editors. Yeah.
Simply incredible, taking such a simple concept of just having a PR piece in the Time Magazine editor's inbox, and away you go from there. Jason, we're going to head into a break, so let me wrap things up. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and hang in there for us. I'm talking with Jason Lukash, and we'll come back and talk to Jason shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Hi, everybody. Ray Lucia here. Our free 2013 Retirement Forum webinar series gives us the opportunity to bring an in-depth discussion of some of the hottest topics of the year right to your home. Our next webinar is scheduled for Saturday, April 6th, and we'll be focusing on financial planning strategies and real estate investing. Is this the right time to invest in real estate? Do you need more information about the tax implications as you consider purchasing or refinancing? How does real estate fit into your strategy, and what options might be available? Join me along with Rick the Professor Plum and representatives from RJL Wealth Management for the next Retirement Forum webinar. Save the date, Saturday, April 6th. Registration is free and easy. Just go to discussretirement.com to register. That's discussretirement.com, or call 877-PLANNER and then press the number 2.
All investments carry risk, including loss of principal. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management. Ray Lucia and Rick Plum are not registered representatives of Lucia Securities.
At CrazyPriceMall.com, this Easter, crazy low prices means more family fun for less. All prices have been dramatically reduced. With prices on interior house cleaning services, auto care, and carpet installation at crazy low prices, you can save money on the stuff you and your family need. And that means more time left over to do the things you love, like a round of golf or a meal at your favorite restaurant. All 50% off or more at CrazyPriceMall.com. And with school tuition prices slashed, you'll have more money left over for the other stuff kids need. Go there now and save money on your favorite things. CrazyPriceMall.com.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening this morning to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and I'm a certified business broker. My show is about owning and operating a business, or as I like to say, where Wall Street meets Main Street. I have a guest this morning. It's a young guy from Southern California, born here in Northern California, born up in Danville, but moving and operating a business down in Orange County, and his name is Jason Lukash. And he has a company called Orig Audio. If you want some more information, you're welcome to visit www.origaudio.com, origaudio.com. And Jason and his partner in the business of doing music portability products using innovative solutions. And those words comes from Jason's marketing lady, who I talked to on the phone this morning. Jason, we were talking about your little win with Time Magazine and being a successful 50 Best Inventions of 2009. I actually watched the show on Shark Tank where you and Mike appeared. So tell me a little bit about Shark Tank. So obviously, being Time Magazine's 50 Best Inventions of 2009 was a great victory, but then to stumble into Shark Tank, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the producers of Shark Tank actually saw us on the Time Magazine 50 Best Inventions of the Year list. So you'll see our stories like one thing leads to another, but they invited us out to appear on season 2 of Shark Tank. So we went out to LA and filmed the show. And one thing about Shark Tank is I'd say it's the realest reality show on TV. We were in, the tank, if you want to call it that,
yep,
for over an hour and a half, and they cut it into a 12-minute episode. But right, Shark Tank was cool. It was the real validation. The Time Magazine thing was awesome, but Shark Tank was like real validation that what we were doing was right. We got offers from all the sharks, and Mark Cuban, gave us a 24-second shot clock if we wanted to work with him or not. But it was an awesome, awesome experience. We're actually one of two companies in our season to get exactly what we were asking for going into the tank. So it was really cool, and probably one of the coolest business experiences I've ever had.
So I do agree with you. I watch Shark Tank regularly, being an entrepreneur and seeing what these guys do. I help people buy and sell a business. So what I'm intrigued by is, I agree with you, the approach they take. These guys are investors, and they're analyzing a business and making a quick decision. They're obviously all incredibly successful entrepreneurs, and there's no hiding. They're just at you, and they want to know information, and they're using the information you give back to them to make quick decisions. What happened? What was the outcome of the show? Did you got what you were looking for? Who was the investor that took you on?
Yeah, so we made a deal with Rob Herjavec on the show. Actually, the funny thing is, in real life, so after the show, we decided not to take the deal. And I'm actually glad. That's probably the best decision I've ever made, because when we filmed the show, we had $1 million valuation. And the rule on Shark Tank is any deal that you make on air doesn't go into effect until your episode airs. So our episode aired 9 months later, and in those 9 months, Mike and I signed like three huge partnership deals to double the valuation of the company to to $2 million. And so when our episode aired, Rob wanted to take the original deal, which we asked for, which was 15% of our company for $150,000,
yep.
So based on a $1 million valuation.
Yep.
We told him, no, the price had gone up. So he didn't want to renegotiate, and we said, it's okay, we'll see you later. And I'm glad we didn't, because now the business is valued at $8 million.
So that's intriguing. So just give some more information around that. So you filmed the show, hour and a half session being grilled by these guys in the Shark Tank. It's cut down to 12 minutes. If you negotiate an offer on the show, it's non-binding. So that
Correct.
Was one of the things I thought was interesting, whether it was binding, whether they made you sign a contract before you came on the show that if an offer was accepted and agreed upon, then you were legally bound to it. But I'm intrigued to hear that it's non-binding. So So the show was aired 9 months later, and obviously during that 9 months, many things can happen in business, both good things and bad things. But in your case, they are all positive things. What were some of your reactions to some of the sharks? I watched Kevin, and he kind of blows me away with his. There's one thing important to Kevin in life. I think there's one thing, there's two things, there's three things. They're all the same thing. They're all important. It's all money. If it's not money, you're not going to talk to you. Is what you see on the TV, is that how they present themselves in real life?
100%. Kevin O'Leary is a jerk. Everyone calls him Mr. Wonderful on the show, but he's very Mr. Unwonderful. We got offers from four of the sharks. The only shark we didn't get an offer from was Kevin O'Leary. Rob Herjavec's a very nice guy. I have nothing but positive things to say about him. He's a huge fan of our business. Cuban loves our story and our business. We've talked to him after the show. We actually saw Barbara. Barbara actually presented the award for Entrepreneur of the Year in January in Dallas. So it's they're all very nice people, but of course they're sharks. You know, they're hungry for money, like
sure.
you said.
And was Damien on your show when you were doing it there? Or?
Yeah, Damien was there too. And he actually has a whole separate company called Shark Tank Branding. So he was there after, and he wanted to see if he could, you know, strike a second deal with us. But we, Mike and I, wanted to retain all equity of the company. I'm glad we did. So.
Yep. So that's interesting. So you have a partner, and your partner is Mike. I'm not going to pronounce Mike's name, last name. So why don't you have a go for me? You probably have more practice.
It's Mike Sinzak, but Sinzak. There's way more consonants and vowels in there. So
there sure is. Yeah, Mike's last name is spelled Szymczak. So that's the reason why I didn't. It's bad enough with an accent, let alone trying to pronounce that last name. So. I was going to try and pronounce Robert's last name, but I wasn't sure I'd get close to Herjavec.
Herjavec,
yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm staying away from those names.
So
you and Mike own the company 50-50. Is that the arrangement you have?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
And so from a business perspective, that's an intriguing thing because you both own 50-50. So in theory, there's nobody in control. If you want to cast a vote and Jason casts a vote and it's 50% of the vote and Mike wants to cast a vote and it's 50% and you don't agree, then you can't go anywhere. So talk about your partnership relationship and how you get through making decisions.
I'm very good at rock, paper, scissors. So that's how. No, we actually have a board that we put together, a board of advisors. So Mike and I can't, decide on an answer. We'll take it to our board and everyone can vote and, we strongly value other people's feedbacks too, because we each look at business decisions from the way we want them to look, you know, as individuals. But sometimes we don't look at them in the best way for the company. So it's better to have, you know, alternate people that we can go to make decisions and ideas. So I act as the CEO of the company, and Mike acts as our CMO. He's a marketing guy, and he makes magic happen day in and day out.
Cool. Okay.
So we kind of balance each other out too. So. It's kind of like a marriage, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's intriguing. You both have the same similar skill set, and marketing is both of your strengths. So how do you find that just at a practical level? If you both got a strong marketing skill set, when people have the same skill set, they tend to clash because business is very quick and moving and making decisions. And if you both have the same skill set, how do you navigate through some of your marketing questions?
Yeah, I've kind of like stepped away a little bit from the marketing side and kind of, you know, it's something that I'm very passionate about, but in order for the business to move forward in the right way, I've kind of let Mike take the reins on it. I'm handling more of our product development and our sales strategies. So, you know, you're only as best as your weakest link. So I've kind of, you know, let him run the marketing, and I'm kind of sticking to other things. And it's worked. It's worked out very well.
Yep, that's great. So, again, one of the things I see in business, especially when there's a partnership, is that you do need to have lines of demarcation that says, okay, here's your job description, stick to that. Here's my job description, I'll stay on my job description. And then you obviously have to come together to agree on moving forward. But if you let one person shine with their strengths on their job description and obviously you shine in your area, it's the way the company moves forward. Because if you're not shining and doing things well and you're clashing, you're just wasting time and energy and money. And those are the things that as a business person, you've got to maximize your time, energy and money.
Yep. I 100% agree.
Yeah. So the board of advisors, just in simple terms, you've got a partnership, so you put this board of advisors together, which I think is great. How many people are on the board of advisors?
Seven.
Oh, wow. So that's quite a large number.
Yeah, and it's an odd number too, so there's never a tie.
Yep. And was that a deliberate decision to do that, to have seven?
Well, it kind of worked out that way, but also we're like, oh, great, there's an odd number.
Yes.
But, no, it wasn't an intentional thing. It's just we picked our seven best people, and I don't know, luckily there's an odd number of them.
Yep. Do you get to a point where you sometimes have a 5-4 vote? So there's seven the board of advisors, and then there's you and Mike. So you've got a total of nine people, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
So, no, we've never come down to a 5-4. I'd say there's been like a 6-3 once, but it's usually the majority is always thinking in the right direction.
Yep, cool. And how did you work out who to invite onto the board? I presume you and Mike made a decision, let's invite this person. It was a decision between you and Mike to let somebody come onto your board of advisors?
Correct, yeah. We picked a couple people from different sectors of business and different companies that we worked with. So a couple of people that are in the education space, some guys that are in the retail space, some guys that are in the customization sector, which is another big part of our business, and two guys that have built companies and sold them off too. So we kind of just got people from all different walks of life that kind of fit with what we're doing and trying to accomplish as well.
And I presume they have different ages as well. So you guys are young and full of enthusiasm, and you've got some older members on the board of advisors?
Correct, yeah. We even have someone that's over 70, so we went from we're the youngest, and then most of the guys are in their 30s and 40s, and then we've got a guy that's 72.
Yep. You see value in having that diversity? You're seeing value in having the age diversities with different experiences?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm so glad that we've got a lot of gray hair in the room, too, just because it helps. It helps with the experience. I mean, this is our first, like, real business, so there's a lot of things that we don't know. We've never, now actually we're going through a round of fundraising. We're doing an angel investment round, and that's something that neither one of us had ever done before. So we kind of, it's better to have people with experience that have done that because they can help guide you on the way.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, we're heading into a break again. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogers, and my guest today is Jason Lukasz from Aurig Audio, and we'll be back shortly. Hang in there.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Stocks fall over concerns about Cyprus. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. U.S. stocks fell, extending a two-day slide for the S&P 500 index as concerns Cyprus's bailout will falter and aggravate Europe's debt crisis. Now, equities dropped amid concerns Cypriot lawmakers may shoot down an unprecedented levy on bank deposits, risking the island's membership in the euro. Komal Srikumar, president of Srikumar Global Strategies.
When you analyze Cyprus, don't look at just the size. We all looked at the size of Greece 4 years ago and thought it was inconsequential. Greece was a symptom. The same way Cyprus and what the Europeans are going through are a symptom of a switch.
The Dow lost 43 points to 14,407. The S&P 500 index down 0.6% to 1542. And the Nasdaq lost 0.6% to 3217. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Hey, just think. What if you could do this? What if you could lock in a 10-year fixed-rate mortgage for only 2.75% rate and APR and own your home free and clear in just 10 years? Well, the awesome fact is, and yes, I'm really excited about this, now for the first time ever with Paramount Equity, you can. Hi, I'm Hayes Barnard, founder of Paramount Equity, and it's our job to quickly save you tens of thousands on your mortgage without any hassles or headaches, with absolutely zero upfront costs, not even for an appraisal. We'll show you in writing how much we can save you by month, by year, and over the life of your mortgage. Now realize, today's ultra-low rates could be history as soon as tomorrow. So invest just 5 minutes of your time to call us for details right now. This could be your only chance to lock in a rate all the way down in the twos before you even hang up the phone. Call Paramount Equity at 290-9999. 916-290-9999.
Rates are subject to change. NMLS number 30336. Licensed by the Department of Corporations under the CRMLA. License number 4170047.
Hi, everybody. Ray Lucia here. Our free 2013 Retirement Forum webinar series gives us the opportunity to bring an in-depth discussion of some of the hottest topics of the year right to your home. Our next webinar is scheduled for Saturday, April 6th. And we'll be focusing on financial planning strategies and real estate investing. Is this the right time to invest in real estate? Do you need more information about the tax implications as you consider purchasing or refinancing? How does real estate fit into your strategy? And what options might be available? Join me along with Rick the Professor Plum and representatives from RJL Wealth Management for the next Retirement Forum webinar. Save the date, Saturday, April 6th. Registration is free and easy. Just go to discussretirement.com to register. That's discussretirement.com or call 877-PLANNER and then press the number 2.
All investments carry risk, including loss of principal. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management. Ray Lucia and Rick Plum are not registered representatives of Lucia Securities.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening this morning to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and I'm a certified business broker. My guest this morning is from Arigadio, and he's a gentleman called Jason Lukash. And Jason's in Southern California with his company, originally from Northern California, which is the reason that I thought I'd get Jason on the show. But he's had some incredible successes. Time Magazine's 50 Best Inventions of 2009. He's been on Shark Tank, and based on my conversation with Jason, he not only was on Shark Tank, but he successfully took on the sharks and beat them. So that's pretty incredible. So you had the trifecta. You had Time Magazine's 50 Best Inventions of 2009, Jason, and you're on Shark Tank, and then you've had Entrepreneur Magazine's Entrepreneur of the Year for 2012. Give us a little bit of background of how that evolved.
Yeah, so actually what happened was they wrote a story on about us. We were named to Entrepreneur Magazine's Young Millionaires list last year, and they said that I'd be a great candidate for Entrepreneur of the Year. So we made like an audition video and sent it in, and it was up to fan voting, and we actually ended up winning. So kind of a cool award to win. And, you know, I spoke at the Entrepreneur Magazine's growth conference in Dallas in January where I accepted the award, and it was confirming that everyone like loved our story. It got like an awesome response, and you know, people believe that I am the future of entrepreneurs, and I am living the American dream, which is weird to think about, but it's actually that's pretty freaking cool to think about too. You know,
absolutely, yeah. So, Entrepreneur Magazine, where are they? Are they based in Texas, in Dallas?
No, they're actually based out here in Orange County.
Okay, so yeah. What was the reason they hosted the show in Dallas?
I have no idea. They moved around to different parts of the United States each year, so I think this year was Dallas. Last year was in Orange County, which kind of sucks because we had traveled to Dallas, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
To accept this award, I would have traveled to the greatest parts of the world to accept it. So
there you go. So Entrepreneur Magazine, what's obviously their mission in life is to make a magazine, and they promote all sorts of products. They have franchise and all sorts of things in there. Do you know who owns Entrepreneur Magazine?
I think it's owned by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated, and they're down here too. So yeah, they publish a magazine, basically tell like small business success stories. It's actually the most widely circulated business publication on newsstands. So.
Yep. Yep.
It's got a really good reach, and I personally really like it. It's got great stories and a lot of really good advice in it too.
Yep, no, I agree. They put together a top magazine. I wasn't sure whether it was part of the news, Rupert Murdoch's News Limited, part of News Limited at all. But they do a great job at highlighting different entrepreneur trends and different products and things.
Right.
So tell us a little about your products. You're hugely successful at marketing, but if you're marketing and you're marketing BS, then after a short period of time, people don't want to pay for BS. So what's your products about?
So we can make normal speakers all day if we really wanted to. We can make computer speakers or desktop speakers, but We don't want to do that. So all of our speakers are different in their unique way. We have speakers that are made out of recycled material, and they come flat and fold up into 2-3-inch boxes, hence the name Origaudio, the origami of audio. Our most popular product called the Rocket, and that's what we're on the show Shark Tank with. So what this device does, it's a device that you plug into your iPhone or your smartphone or laptop, and whatever it sticks to, it's got a sticky surface on it, it turns that whole object into a speaker. So it sounds a little weird, but you can stick it on a window, a door, a lampshade, a cardboard box, whatever it attaches to sends out vibration sequences, and the object that it attaches to becomes a speaker. It's pretty cool. I recommend you look on our website, origaudio.com, so you can kind of understand it a little better.
And so if I go on your website, how many products are you selling on the website?
We've got 10 products now. So we try to bring out 3 or 4 products a year, and this year we're slated to bring out 4. So, you know, being in the consumer electronics field and technology, it's so important to stay ahead of the curve. So we're always trying to think, you know, six months to a year down the road and trying to constantly come out with the new latest and greatest stuff that's going to keep us, you know, ahead of the curve in terms of retail.
Sure. And if somebody came to you and said, look, I've got this idea I want to create into a product, are you open to receiving ideas, or do you have your own internal R&D department that's full chat and doesn't have any spare bandwidth?
No, it's very important to listen to your customer's feedback. And we actually get people that approach us all the time with different ideas and concepts. And some of them we've actually made. So it's, you know, we learned very early on it's important to listen to your customers. So the Rocket that we've got right now, this is generation 3. So we've launched 3 generations of it in a year and a half because we're constantly evolving it and changing it based on customers' demands. You know, the first one we built had like AAA batteries inside of it, and our customers were like, we don't want to buy batteries, we're going to return the batteries. So we did that. It was square, and people wanted it circular, so we made it circular. So we're constantly evolving and changing as a company, which I think is very good. Otherwise, if you're stuck in your ways and you're not open to new ideas, you're not going to get anywhere.
Is there a typical demographic for what you're making as you're building your product? Do you have a demographic in mind, or is that just evolving as the products arrive?
It's evolving. So we built the company originally to cater to the 18 to 30 demographic, but in actuality, our actual demographic is 18 to 80. We have a lot of older people that buy our products, use them playing with their iPads or their, you know, laptops or computers, and, you know, people just love it for taking their music on the go. Portability for us is a huge theme of our company, and all of our stuff is small, portable, and can fit in the palm of your hand, but all make killer, killer sound also.
So that's my next question. Your marketing skills are unquestioned. You know, in 3 years, in 2009 when you won Time Magazine's 50 Best Innovations of 2009, I guess it's 4 years if we're in 2013. Yeah. But you've had incredible success with your marketing. But the marketing's great. But again, you've got to have something to sell that people want. So what's the background behind the R&D and the innovation of the products you build? How are you doing that analysis and getting the technical specifications correct?
Yeah, so in the past, we haven't really invented the wheel. You know, we've looked at the wheel and figured out how to make it better. So we've looked at different products in the market, seen how they act and how they sound, and then we try to always figure out how we can line up it and make it a little different and a little better. So, you know, for example, like we have a speaker called the Doodle, which is the world's first ever fully customizable speaker. We saw that everybody wanted to originally, customize our fold-and-play speakers, but we weren't able to since we printed them overseas in China. So we turned away a lot of business, and, you know, everyone wanted to, you know, make speakers that had pictures of their kids on it or pictures of their favorite vacation spot. So, you know, instead of turning away all this business, we're like, why don't we just make a speaker that we can print domestically here in the United States and ship it out within a week? So we kind of built this product, and it's done super, super well. And, you know, it's kind of been a theme of our business where customization is king. So we have 2 customizable speakers where people can upload their own pictures on our website and we print and ship them. And, you know, we looked at the headphone market, and we saw all the headphones on the market were kind of how the manufacturers wanted them to look. So we're like, why don't we make custom headphones too? And our custom headphones have actually been the most popular product for us in the last 2 years. And, I don't know. I mean, listening to your customers is good, but also looking at existing products and figuring out how to make them better, I think, has really helped us, set ourselves apart from the competition.
Absolutely. So if you're listening and you have an interest, you want some more information, you're welcome to visit www.origaudio.com, and you'll see the products that Jason's company has available. If you want to, they even pick up the phone. When you pick up the phone and give them a call, they'll answer the phone. If you want to give them a call, their phone number is 949-407-6360. Again, 949 407-6360. So, Jason, is all your manufacturing done here in the U.S. then, or do you have some done offshore?
The majority of our products are made overseas, but our three custom products are made right here in Orange County, California. So we're bringing the stuff in by the container for our non-customizable product, but all the custom product is made and finished here in the United States.
So I'm right now selling a business for a guy here in Northern California. He made a baby monitoring device, and he's an engineer by trade, and he built the device in 2006. He went to a trade show in 2007. He came across a manufacturer's agent in Hong Kong, and the manufacturer's mm-hmm. agent said, let me take care of this. I can get it made in China for you, and that's what he does. So he has a very simple model. He operates his business in Northern California here virtually. He does it all remotely from his home office.
Wow.
He's selling about $900,000 a year worth of product. But Jason, take the risk of pushing your product offshore? What was your process of working through that?
So when I was working at JanSport, I was doing some product sourcing overseas, and I kind of knew a little about how to work with factories. And luckily, I knew an electronics factory. So when I came with a prototype for my for my product, they're the first people that I sent it to. And it's a risk. It's a risk. For sure, manufacturing in China. You never know what's going to happen, and it's all the way on the other side of the world. But luckily, if you play the cards right, it might work out in your favor, and it did for us. One thing we have taken a look at and done a little differently is we don't just make all our product in one factory. We have three different factories that can make our product. So in case one goes under or something happens to one, they get too busy, we can shift our production to another factory to meet demand. So I think it's very good to not put all your eggs in one basket, too.
And that's intriguing because the gentleman just talked about, he just uses one agent in Hong Kong, and the agent in Hong Kong actually owns a plant in China, and it's only one plant, but they've been reliable. Wow. He's had no problems, and so it's worked well for him, but he doesn't have the range of products you've got, and he doesn't have the sales level you have as well. So I can see you managing your risk, which is great. Do you do patents and things as part of your R&D and doing the different products you've got? Have you got to a stage of going into patents and protecting yourself that way?
Correct. Yeah. So we've got design patents on all of our products and two utility patents in the process right now too. So it's really important to protect yourselves. And one thing I actually learned early on is that if someone's copying you, you're probably doing something good, right? People don't copy bad products. So. Right. I think a lot of people are always worried about, someone's copying me. If someone's copying you, that means you've got a pretty good product, I'd say.
So do you have your own legal team then, or you have somebody on staff that handles the patents, or do you outsource that to a local attorney?
Yeah, we outsource it to a law firm down here called Stradling, and they're one of the biggest in Southern California.
So protecting your IP obviously is a huge part of part of your business risk is managing your IP and how you protect it.
Correct, yeah. It's very important. You always got to look out there and see if anyone's infringing on your patents or your design patents, and our legal team is pretty good at that.
Great. We're talking with Jason Lucas. Jason's the partner in a company called Aurig Audio, ORIGAudio.com. You're welcome to visit their website and see their range of products. If you want to buy a product, you can give them a call, 949-407-6360. We're heading into a break, and again, thank you for listening to 105.5 FM. You're on Money 2.0.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
News on Money 105.5.biz is brought to you by Wawanisa Insurance. Wawanisa Auto Insurance ranked highest in customer satisfaction among auto insurers in California by J.D. Power & Associates. Call 877-WAWANISA. Visit jdpower.com.
Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
At CrazyPriceMall.com, this Easter, crazy low prices means more family fun for less. All prices have been dramatically reduced. With prices on interior house cleaning services, auto care, and carpet installation at crazy low prices, you can save money on the stuff you and your family need. And that means more time left over to do the things you love, like a round of golf or a meal at your favorite restaurant. All 50% off or more at CrazyPriceMall.com. And with school tuition prices slashed, you'll have more money left over for the other stuff kids need. Go there now and save money on your favorite things. CrazyPriceMall.com.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening this morning to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson, and I'm a certified business broker. This morning, I have a guest on my show. It's Jason Lukasch. He's with Aurig Audio, and we've been talking about Jason's incredible success in Southern California with his company and the different products he's been building. Just a few questions around the business. So you've got a partnership with Mike, and do you guys have a partnership agreement?
Correct. Yeah, we have a partnership agreement between the two of us.
And how often do you review that partnership agreement? Is that something you do?
Yeah, we take a look at it at least once a year just to make sure everything's still in check, doing our buy sell agreement and stuff like that. We look at it once a year. It's not like we look at it every week, but we review it at least once a year, make sure it's still how we want it to be.
Yep, I'm intrigued to hear you do have a buy sell agreement, because that's one of a question for you. You put the buy sell, when did you put the buy sell agreement together?
Only like 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So was that the right time to do the buy sell agreement, or do you think in hindsight it's something that should have been done a little bit earlier?
No, I think it's fine. I mean, we didn't even have a business plan up until about 5 months ago. So we first put a business plan together. I think it's important to a lot of people in, you know, school and university, the school just pushes, like, you got to get that business plan, you got to get the business plan. I think it doesn't really matter. As long as you've got a really good idea, you can figure out your business plan afterwards.
That's intriguing. That sounds like a young entrepreneur's approach to running a business. I'm a huge believer in a business plan, because I think the questions inside a business plan really force you to think things through and make decisions hopefully make good decisions. But your experience is that you can do things as you go along, and that's been working for you.
Correct. Yeah, it's we're very good at learning on the fly. You know, we didn't even know a lot about manufacturing or plastic injection molding and electronic circuitry. It's like all this stuff they don't teach in school. We just kind of, you learn something new every day. And I think if you don't learn something new every day, you kind of should be in a different field or a different business.
That's the intriguing thing with being an entrepreneur. I have a saying that entrepreneurship's not a destination, it's a journey. And if you think you're going to be an entrepreneur and get to a point and say, okay, this is where I need to stop, I think you're misleading yourself, because there's just so much to learn to be a successful entrepreneur, with all the different skill sets, the marketing, the finance, the lending, the operations, the management. And there's just, as you just said, it's just something to learn every day. Otherwise, if you're not learning, you're, in my mind, you're going backwards, because your competition is learning and they're getting stronger if you're not focused.
Correct, yeah. It's crazy. Like, I've learned so much in the last, like, 3.5 years of doing this. Like, it's weird. It's weird to me that I own an electronic company when I have no technical training or no engineering background. But as long as you got a good idea and you get the right people involved to help you with the things that you're not so great at, then I think you'll be successful.
Well, that's the intriguing thing that I was listening to as well, because both your background and Mike's background is in marketing, and you both have a complementary skill set, which to me is unusual, because generally people are attracted by one person having one skill set and the other person having a completely different skill set. But in your case, you both have the same skill set, so you've been able to take that skill set and apply it to your business, and then bring in the things that you have a deficit on, which is, again, what's intriguing. The strength of your business is the R&D and the product you build, and that's not your core skill set. So you've taken that challenge and you've mastered it. So to me, that's incredibly fantastic.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a lot of hard work pays off too, you know. But you're only, you know, we've brought in some engineers and product designers and graphic designers that have helped us because, you know, those aren't our expertises. Like you said, like marketing, no problem. We can do that all day, every day. But you can't do product engineering. So
right.
I think a lot of entrepreneurs hold on for as long as possible. But you got to be good at diversifying, you know, having other people help out with different things because otherwise you're not going to go anywhere. You're only going to go backwards, like you said.
What's the size of the company? How many employees do you have?
We have 15 employees now.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all based here in Orange County?
Correct, yeah. Everyone's based in Orange County and everyone works out of our office down here. You know, up until September 2010, it was just me and Mike. So we've hired, you know, 13 people in the last 2 years and the plan is to hire more this year as well. So we're constantly growing and, you know, we need more people to help out.
Wow, so when you won Time Magazine's 50 Best Inventions of 2009, the company was two people, you and Mike, is that right?
Yeah, and, you know, we were shipping all the product out of Mike's garage in Chicago. That's where Mike was living at the time, and his roommates would help out, and his parents would come help out. But once the Time Magazine thing happened, it's like, oh, my God, we built ourselves a little speaker monster here. We're shipping over 1,000 orders a day. And in Chicago, in the wintertime in the garage, you can only tape so many boxes before your hands freeze. So we moved all of our product to a distribution center in Los Angeles, and that's kind of why we also moved out here to Orange County, too, just to be closer to where our product's made and ships out of, and, you know, kind of worked out for the best also.
What an incredible story. You started in the garage. I spent 5 years working at Hewlett-Packard, and that's how HP got started. Mr. Hewlett and Mr. Packard, they met in the garage, and they built their first printer, I think it was, or their first calculator, and then life evolved from there, and they built a tremendous company. So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I think our goal in 5 years is probably to sell the company. We don't, you know, so many entrepreneurs are like, oh, I want to go public, I want to go IPO. That's like the worst thing you can do. I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't build businesses to go public. So eventually we'd like to sell this thing and move on to the next thing. I think since we're product marketing guys by trade, you know, you can give us any product and we could probably hopefully have the same success with it as long as it's a good product.
So I'm seeing you back on the Shark Tank in 2014, sitting there and looking at.
Hopefully, I'll be a shark instead of a contestant.
Well, there you go. That's a good twist to that. That makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
I was intrigued. You've just touched back on Shark Tank. Mark Cuban comes across as being a real nice guy. Is that true, or you think is that just part of his skill set?
I think it's part of his skill set, but also, you know, he was kind of a jerk to us a little bit on the show. He gave us a 24-second shot clock, and we had to decide if we wanted to work strictly with Mark Cuban or work with all the other sharks. And we kind of told Cuban, sorry, pal, we're working with the other sharks. And he's kind of a little upset, but I think in hindsight, he's a nice guy. He's a firm believer and a firm validator that what we were doing was right, and he's an entrepreneurial king. An entrepreneur community think Cuban is God, and I think Cuban was a phenomenal, phenomenal guy. And what he did to build his company and built an empire is, you know, a lot of hard work does pay off.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued with your comment about the 24-second shot clock. I was watching the show. Actually, I watched your show. I had no idea, you know, at the time, but I remember watching your show and being impressed with what you guys had done. But on the last show, again, Mark Cuban rolls out this 24-second shot clock, and I just get confused with that because as a business person, he's putting the pressure on the person to make a decision, which I get. But business people are about getting all the information. So on last show, the guy wanted to negotiate with the other sharks, but Mark Cuban is saying, okay, you've got 24 seconds, otherwise my offer disappears. And I know why he's doing it, to help Mark Cuban, but if you're on the show making a decision to whether to go with Mark or some of the other sharks, you need time to hear the other offers. But Mark doesn't like playing that game. He likes to have his own set of rules.
He is the great white in terms of the shark kingdom. Yeah, he wants people to work strictly with himself. And 24-second shot clock, yeah, that's basketball. That doesn't work in terms of investments,
right.
You know. But it does rush people, but it also sometimes it's worked out where people just instantly, on impulse, just decide to work with Cuban. So I don't know. I mean, if I were doing it, I'd give people a little more time, maybe a 60-second shot clock instead of 24 seconds.
Well, I'm still about business people making a good decision, and making a good decision involves having as much information as you can, and especially when you're negotiating, the more information you have, the better decision you can make as far as the investor goes. So So that the Mark Cuban approach, it bothers me because I'm helping people buy and sell a business all the time, and there's a need to give people space and work things through. So we're heading up to the top of the hour, and I've just had a fascinating conversation with Jason Lukash. Jason's with a company in Orange County called Origaudio. If you have an interest in their products, get on their website, www.origaudio.com. You can see the products that they're available for Jason and his partner Mike to ship to you. Or if you've got questions, give them a call. They're happy to talk to you. Their phone number down in Orange County is 949-407-6360. Jason, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I'm just fascinated with what you've done at your tender years of 29 and how successful you've been. And hopefully I'll track you down in 5 years' time and hear your next success story. And you've got such a huge career ahead of you. I wish you well. And again, I thank you for being on the show this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks very much, Jason. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's coming up to 11 o'clock on Tuesday, March 19th. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. My guest next week is a gentleman called Jeff Marmons, and he's from a company called the C7 Group. Just been involved in social media for about 10 years now, and he was really at the cutting edge when social media was talked about. And I've stayed in touch with Jeff because I've enjoyed watching him and watch social media involved. And social media really started as a nobody quite sure where social media was going, with Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all the many different applications, things out there. So Jeff Marmons is my guest next week. Thank you for listening. You're on 105.5 FM, Money 2.0, and I'm your host, Andrew Rogerson. Talk to you next week.